Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 351 of Longbox Heroes. Joe and Todd joining you here for some comic bookery in podcast form.
That's right. We're going to talk about comics.
That's right. And there's a ton of news and a ton of comics and a ton of stuff to talk about.
But no TVs.
Right. No TVs. It's the summer. Now, ooh, you know, this is a very busy weekend, and we'll kind of discuss that as the show goes on here. But the Glow TV show comes out on Netflix this weekend.
There's a Glow TV show?
Yes, it is a fictionalized account of how Glow professional wrestling came into existence, starring Alison Brie of Community fame,
right,
as the lead lady.
Hmm. There's another comic show coming back this weekend.
There is.
That's right. I'll preach about it later.
Glad one of us will. So, getting into what we have to discuss here, we have two Wonder Woman news items.
Two.
We've got information about a book that was never supposed to be seen in print, and a book that you physically can't see the print on.
Smooth.
Yeah, you like that? And one of my favorite days, formerly Fake Free Comic Book Day, now officially Halloween Comic Fest, the holiday that I personally created myself and I take all the credit for. They announced the titles that'll be coming out this year, and we'll discuss those here as well. There's a lot of really good books.
Is that like how we brought back annuals?
We brought back annuals. We're working on the letter pages. I'll take... I think we can take half credit for them bringing back digital codes.
Oh, okay.
In Marvel books. Not that DC shamed them into it or anything.
Wow.
Which is really what happened. That's why I'm saying we're only taking half claim for it.
It's not right to code shame someone.
And you had nothing to do with this one. Halloween Comic Fest, formerly Fake Free Comic Book Day, formerly me giving away comics I can't sell to kids at my job for Halloween. I invented. And, you know, listen, I don't ask for any credit. I don't ask you to name it Joe Presents Halloween Comic Fest.
Joe Presents.
And listen, this year is happening on October 28th, which is not only my wedding anniversary, but also the red letter date in professional wrestling history where Cactus Jack and Terry Funk almost burned down the ECW arena and I was there with a broken leg.
A bad wheel.
Neither one are good, but this was specifically bad. We're off on a tangent. We're not even out of the news tease here.
I'm trying to trip you up the whole way.
Right. Convention talk, of course, a bunch of conventions. Tons of new digital sales and freebies to discuss. And books that we read from this past week in Defenders number 1, Old Man Logan number 25, and a review preview book, or preview review book, whatever your preferred way, either the correct way or my way.
Nailed it.
Also, what we're most looking forward to coming out this week, and our Todd and Joe Have Issues, where we read from the current Rebirth, I guess, initiative at DC, Superman number 7. So, Todd, let's dive into it. We've already discussed it a bunch, and this is one we can kind of sort of, not breeze by, but again, just kind of mention the potable notables, as we've already spent so much time on Joe Presents Halloween Comic Fest 2017, specifically being held on my anniversary, to rub it in my face. There are 30 books, 18 full-size, and 12 mini-comics, and the lion's share of these books are Marvel books. And we'll kind of get into that here a little bit. There is a Hellboy in the BPRD 1953 reprint. It looks like whatever the first issue of Batman Night of the Monster Men is a DC offering, as well as an issue of DC Comics Superhero Girls. Marvel, on the other hand, has three books as opposed to two. In the full size, they have the first issue of the current Darth Maul miniseries, the first issue of the Brian K. Vaughan Runaways book, and then randomly, they have issue 354 of Walt Simonson's Thor. Now, it might have something to do with the fact that Hela is the villain of that book, and the fact that the Thor movie comes out 3 weeks later,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
That's right. Disney'd never think it that far ahead.
Right. And then the mini comics are more your lighter fare, stuff for kids or tweens, if you will. I'll be honest with you, a bunch of properties I'm not familiar with, like The Witch Boy from Graphics, Stitched by Paper Cuts. There's a Pokemon comic book, something based on the Hotel Transylvania movie franchise.
Ooh, Adam Sandler comics. I'll take 10.
There's a Casper Halloween Treats little book here. But I always like this because they always pick really interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And the new content is always very interesting to me. And as it appears to be light on new content, which is fine. It is, you know, fake free comic book day. So
that's right. Well, the way I always look at it is Halloween free comic book day does not, like, wow me, but it's not meant to.
Right.
Because it's usually reprints of stuff that if I wanted, I probably already own. Like you said, there's not a lot of new material. And it's not really aimed for me. So, like, when these titles come up, I'm like, ooh, like, there's nothing that usually I'm like, oh, I want to get that. But it's a great idea because it's another way to get kids, you know, comics in their, you know, grubby little hands so we can have a future in this industry. So, I love the idea, but like I said, it's one of those, I'm a very, self-centered person, and I'm like, this does nothing for me other than gets, you know, a future generation to read comics, so I could read comics longer. So I'm okay with it, but doesn't wow me. But keep doing it. That's the way I look at it.
I agree. So moving along to things that are reprints of previously released material, Image announced that the Negan origin story that you could only get two pages at a time by purchasing the Image Plus previews.
It was free for the first 2 months.
Right, that's how they suckered you in.
That's right, it's the crack of previews.
Mm-hmm. So now, they said that it would never be reprinted anywhere else, is being printed in a hardcover to come out this October.
Now, wait a minute, Joe.
Okay.
To never be reprinted before this again. Remember, it's in that weird, like, $150 Image thingy that we were going to go in on together.
Oh, the Image, like, what is it, Loot Crate sort of gimmick.
Right, it was an expensive thing. And remember, the Negan comic was going to be reprinted there? But I don't think it was all out because it was originally supposed to run 12 issues at 2 pages a piece, 24 issues. That's a comic. And then they were like, it's doing so well and it's selling our Image Plus. Let's stretch it out. So that happened. And then I think it's only half that's going to be in that Loot Crate dealy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, this will never be printed again. And I was like, yeah, you know what you're saying? You're getting in there with legalese. This half of the comic will never be reprinted again. We're going to reprint it all down the line. I've been through this before with Crisis on Infinite Earths, the hardcover. Have I told this story on the show before?
Well, you know what, Todd? You probably have told it, and it's probably an interesting story, so don't tell it.
Okay, I won't.
No, or please, please.
I will. It was when the first hardcover for the Slips edition for Crisis on Infinite Earths came out, and they said, this will never, ever, 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 ever be reprinted any other way again. So I bought it. You want to know something, Joe? It was reprinted again in not only the slipcase, it was in a absolute, in a hardcover, in a soft cover. So when that happened, I was ruined for life. The only thing I'll believe now is that they will never add an extra issue to Marvel event books. That's the only thing I'm gonna believe from here on out.
Now, the question I have for you is, mm-hmm. with the Crisis on Infinite Earth hardcover slipcase thing.
Right.
And they said that it was never going to be printed again. Was it the one that you purchased, the one that you're talking about, was it a numbered edition?
No. Okay. It was just a slipcase that came with... It was interesting. It came with a poster.
Oh.
Right? It came with a poster.
I'm down with that.
I'm down with that. It came with, and then it came with an extra poster because it was screwed up when it came out. There was pages wrong in it, so we never even got them. It had to go back to the printer, and like somebody lost their job on this hardcover because it was one of those like, well, we're barely, you know, we're not going to make much on this like oversized hardcover with a poster that comes with it, and then they had to scrap, they had to pulp all the copies. And then go back, whether there was pages mixed up or there was pages missing. I remember that. So they gave you a folded up extra poster in the slipcase, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I remember getting all that, but it was not numbered. That I definitely remember.
Okay, so my other question is, when they did reprint it, did they reprint the exact same hardcover slipcase edition with poster, or was it like a different cover, or was it a different something?
I remember, I don't have it in front of me, they're upstairs, but I know the slipcase had a new, I believe, an Alex Ross cover, which was based on some of the stuff that they had done from like one of the famous covers where they had the ton of heroes on it.
So we're talking, and this was years later.
Oh, yeah, this was because they said they were never going to reprint Crisis on Infinite Earths because it was so convoluted and they had gotten so far from it, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And then they were like, you know what? There's money being left on the table. We're going to do this once. And then they did it, and that special edition came out. And then I want to say it was the Absolute next, and then the hardcover and the soft cover. If there was ever a soft cover. That I don't know. But I just know it was reprinted more than once. So I was not happy.
So for me, I'm not going to buy this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they'll be doing a soft cover edition of this.
Nope, never to be reprinted again.
It doesn't say that with this. I guarantee they'll do a soft cover edition of this. And since I only have one soft cover trade of The Walking Dead, and that's the first trade, I don't want to have just one random hardcover with one random trade.
See, I don't know. I think you should get the hardcover and the soft cover and all that other stuff, because you never know. It might not happen. It might not happen.
So my question is, when they announced that this was never going to be reprinted again, did anyone actually believe them?
I didn't, because I think if we go to the tape on this,
right,
and wherever we talked about it, I couldn't tell you where we talked about it. I probably told this Crisis on Infinite Earth story.
Is so, this episode a repeat?
Oh my god, I said I would never reprint the story of Crisis on Infinite Earth that I told.
Oh,
I
my just goodness. Did.
Oh, it, you know, it rhymes, so it's okay.
So yes, just an interesting move, a not surprising move by Image, but an interesting move that it's going to be a hardcover first, and then of course followed up by a soft cover.
I honestly thought it would have been a free comic book day thing before it would be anything.
I think that's what you postulated, because they did that with the Michonne story that was in Playboy.
And the Tyrese story. They did a Tyrese story. So maybe that's what I had postulated. Good word, Joe.
Right.
Good word.
I got a couple nickel words in my back pocket.
Oh, if you whip out a dime one, I'd be shocked.
Right. So this is a story that Todd brought to my attention that I was fascinated by.
Mm-hmm.
So this is this is from the company About Comics. They're a publishing house. And they're bringing back into print something that they had out of print for some time, and I'll read you the description of it. For those of you who don't know the product, these are the format of a comic book. 24 pages, saddle-stitched with cardstock covers, but they are totally and utterly blank. No drawing, no panel frames, no nothing. And yes, retailers, that means no UPC, sorry. Hand one to a kid, and you get a comic back quickly. Hand one and some money to an artist, and you get a sketch cover. They have plenty other uses.
Well, maybe you get a sketch cover back.
Well.
That's debatable.
Depends on how much money and what artist you're giving those to. Anyway, right. We're not here to lambast specific creators who idolize Bill Maher or anything else like that.
Oh my God. Now you're just going to sit back and eat your flirch and watch me go off about Bill Maher?
Listen, we had flirch for dinner the other night. It was delightful. I never raised my hand to my kid, but he said, I don't like flirch anymore. I was like, oh boy, you're out of the family. Anyway, this is a blank comic book, Todd. And I'm fascinated that this is a thing.
I am too. This is an idea. Okay, there are ideas like that I have had in the store that they've done now that I'm upset nobody cashed in on with me, that nobody threw their life savings. And one was a blank comic because you could either get sketches on every page. You can do whatever you want. I think it's a genius idea. I love this idea. And you can't even trademark it because if you trademark it somewhere on the comic, then it's not all blank anymore. That's a tough run. So I don't know. The other one, by the way, in case you were wondering, is you know how they have the comic boxes with the superheroes on them now?
Right.
Like at the shop, they have the Harley Quinn ones and the Deadpool. I was trying to get a certain artist that we know to sell sketched on comic boxes years ago. And everyone, guess what, Joe? They all called me crazy. But anyway.
Now, I will say this. They also do offer several variants with this.
Variant blanks?
Well, you can get it with the panels in them.
Oh.
And then you can get one where it's six panels that are of equal size. You can get the six staggered panels. Or if you even are so rich, where you can get a graphic novel sized blank.
Ooh. Hopefully they'll start doing the treasury ones.
Mm-hmm. Now. I don't know how far you looked into this.
Mm-mm.
Did you look to see how much these are?
They should be really cheap because they use no ink.
Okay.
Right.
You can only buy them in quantities of 10 or 50.
Wow, makes sense.
And obviously, the more you buy, the more of a discount that you get. At 50, it's $58. And that's $58 shipped. That's not... $58 plus more money to ship them.
So it's $1 a piece and $8 shipping.
Right.
That's the way I look at it, even though shipping might not actually be $8. But
right. And then 10 is $25.
Okay.
So this is a steal. I don't know why everyone isn't doing this. If you are a sketch person, if you are, I don't know, like this to me is an ingenious idea.
It really is, and it makes me wonder now, you know how you said you can get 10 or 50, if you have to get all the same, do you know what I mean?
Well, okay, the ones that have the panel grids on them are a little bit more, are a little bit price different.
Okay.
The 10 and the 50 are the straight up blanks with nothing on them.
Right. They're like sketchbooks without the hardcover.
Right.
That's the way I look at them, so...
But it's cool, like, you know, you can essentially create your own comic.
It is. And for kids, though, like you said, like, that is great. Here's a box of 64s with a sharpener. Go nuts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Because my kid's finally at the age where he likes to draw and he likes to color. And he will draw and color on anything. Like, he'll find an old, little pocket spiral ring notebook, and he'll just start ripping pages out of that and coloring. He's got a pack of, like, printer copier paper in his room. that whenever he needs or wants to write or draw something, he pulls it out of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think his gimmick is going to be he's going to be a comic book artist wrestler.
Maybe. Monster that truck driver.
Monster truck driver?
Yes.
Let's build him one.
He wants to create his own.
Mm-hmm.
And drive it. The other day he told me he wants to drive the Kid Flash truck. And I told him there is no Kid Flash truck. And he said, that's fine, I'll make one.
I like a kid with initiative.
Right. So last but not least here in the news section is the announcement of not one but two Wonder Woman items. Both published by DC. One is going to be a miniseries written by Gail Simone with art by Aaron Lopresti. It is a Wonder Woman Conan crossover. And
that doesn't...
this is one of those books where the fact that it's Gail Simone writing is like the third coolest thing. And I love some Gail Simone.
Right.
A Wonder Woman Conan crossover just sounds so cool.
Aaron Lopresti's art is sweet.
Yes, yes.
So it's going to look good. The only thing is now, I'm going to, this doesn't make any sense, Joe. Conan and Wonder Woman, pushing my glasses up with my finger.
Uh-oh.
They don't exist in the same universe or anything or the same time, so I don't like it at all. But otherwise, this is going to be fantastic, and I'm buying it.
Now, Todd, I will say this, and I'm probably right without reading the solicitation text.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow a wizard did it.
Conan hates wizards.
Oh, boy, when he finds out that a wizard did this.
My favorite thing about Conan is when all else fails, smash something.
Yeah.
I love a character whose default setting is break that. Fueled by rage. I can get behind that.
And Gail Simone's quote that went along with the press release of this. Now, she said when they pitched this to her, they asked her who she would want to draw it, and the first person she said was Aaron Lopresti, and they went and got him.
That's cool, because she did her Wonder Woman run with him.
Right. And she says a major draw is getting to reunite with Lopresti, whose very favorite things to draw are Wonder Woman and barbarians. It's blades and bracelets and wizards and wonder, and I couldn't be more delighted. And neither can I.
Either can I. I wonder if we'll review that when it comes out.
Oh, boy. Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Me too.
I'm sure it won't be terrible. I'm sure it'll be a very fine comic book.
I'm just saying, I like to look to the future.
Right. So, one of the other Wonder Woman stories that we have here is that they announced the new creative team that's going to be coming on. As we talked about here on the show, Greg Rucka is leaving the book very shortly, I think this month. Then they had a 2-month fill-in arc with another creative team, and I think it was the writer who is currently doing the DC Superhero Girls books.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced that starting with September, still every 2 months, it is going to be a 6-issue story arc written by James Robinson.
Right.
James Robinson of Starman and JSA and all sorts of other fame like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the concern comes in here is, I like James Robinson, but some of his stuff is hit or miss of late. I always give James Robinson a try whenever he does something new. The most recent thing that he did, I think, was Earth 2.
Yes, for a little bit.
Right, and I liked it, didn't love it, so I didn't stick with it. I'm already getting Wonder Woman. James Robinson's coming on the book. I'll be sticking with it.
So are you going to do the bridge between?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling. You know what I mean? I think if they did not announce who the new creative team was going to be here in September, I probably would have dropped it after the Greg Rucka run.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, yeah, I'll pick up the 4 extra issues. I'm enjoying Wonder Woman, you know? I'm sure these issues will be good, too.
Right. Though I do think it's 6 issues, to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Because I think, you know, it ends in June. So it's July, August. If whether it starts in September or not, I don't know. I just heard somewhere that it was 6 issues for the fill-in.
Oh, no, okay, because, this month is the last, and then it is only 2 months of four issues for the fill-in.
Okay.
So, Todd, you might be surprised.
Oh, I might not.
That people are claiming that people are outraged over this.
I think people are outraged, but go on.
Okay. So, I'm going to tread lightly here.
Mm-hmm.
And say that many a time, much is made about nothing when it comes to a comic book story, or really any story in the world of entertainment. Obviously, sometimes there are bigger reasons. If you're looking at a reason for people leaving a project or a book, obviously there's more smoke than there is fire, and you have reason to be upset if they were creators that you liked and now they're leaving a project that you liked as well. But obviously, let's see who's taking over the book. Again, James Robinson is a writer with pedigree, coming into a property that DC obviously has some faith in based on the current success of the movie. They're not just going to put Joe Schmo on here with any old idea that's going to attempt to alienate the fan base. However, Todd, the fake comic book news would have you believe that people are up in arms over this decision, and it's the worst thing to happen since unsliced bread.
Wow. That bad.
Right. So what I did, again, I didn't do a official experiment. All I did was go to James Robinson's tweet about him announcing that he's going to be on the book. And look at how many people replied directly to him. Now, obviously, there are people who are probably upset about this that are not tweeting directly at James Robinson. And there are probably people who are seething in their own special way, not in a public fashion, not making a big public deal about it, but just making the decision themselves that I'm not going to pick up this book, and then that's the end of it. But when I look at that, and again, let me just see if I can do this. Okay. So even when I do a search of Wonder Woman Robinson, just in case that people, you know, don't put James's name or whatever it is, there is a lot less people upset that he's taking over the book, and more people upset that it's not a longer arc. That people are saying, oh, I wish it was more than six issues, I wish you had a longer run, so on and so forth. But then they would have you believe that everyone feels the way of, you know, say, James Robinson is a known transphobe, and therefore should not be writing Wonder Woman. People upset that he is taking over the book is maybe at a 1 to 10 ratio on tweets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you take however many tweets it is, and one out of however many that is, I guess that's enough to run a story.
Well, I mean, the Nazi story has been played out now, I think, with Secret Empire. So it's time to move on to the next thing.
Well, now see, this was actually brought to my attention that the most recent issue of Secret Empire was actually a Nick Spencer comic book. And
what?
By that I mean, it was a funny book with good characterization in it.
Really?
Yes.
Makes me want to read it.
Oh, now see, now, okay, hang on.
What'd you find? Did you find the treasure trove of crazy tweets?
I had to do a little bit more digging.
Mm-hmm. See, I could send you where you need to go.
No, don't. Don't do that.
Okay. I won't.
So there was a book a couple years ago that James Robinson did for Image called Airboy.
Airboy, yep. I remember this story.
And in that book, he negatively portrayed a trans person.
Mm-hmm.
To which James Robinson replied, and this is about 2 years ago or so, where obviously, you know, a lot of it is said, he said, stepping outside of my work, I can see how, while my intention when writing the scene was never to defame or harm the trans community, I did indeed mess up, and for that, I sincerely apologize. Then he proceeds to go on for even further, apologizing, trying to explain himself. But as you know, Todd, once it's out there, that's who you are forever.
That's right.
So, I don't know why the negativity of this is a story, but I do know why the negativity of this is a story. I just wish it wasn't.
I do too. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try James Robinson's run on Wonder Woman and hope it's really good. But, you know, you never know. So, I don't have much more to add. Still there?
I'm still here. Obviously, I know that there are many more issues in the world that are a much bigger deal to many more people than just me, being a 40-year-old white heterosexual male, that, you know, I need to be more open-mindful of these sort of things, and I am, but obviously, my thoughts and feelings are not the end-all be-all, and neither are yours.
Right.
Everyone is allowed to have an opinion, and, you know, and somebody else pointed this out to me, but yesterday in regards to a different issue, that isn't it our duty to point out the wrongdoing, if wrongdoing is being done? And I will say yes, but in a situation like this, which is an isolated incident, where it very much appears as though James Robinson was aware he made a mistake, and graciously and deeply apologized. So I feel, you know, maybe you don't go as hard on him as you do the guy who, on maybe a daily or weekly basis, whether it be his honest feelings, or he's trying to purposely incite people, and he says and does and whatever, much, much worse things than this. And then when you point these things out, it just draws that person's followers out to you to attack and harass you.
Mm-hmm.
So does this person who is purposely doing this on a daily basis and attempting to incite people, whether he really believes these things or not, and shows no remorse for the problems that he caused, is that a person that needs to be the subject of more vitriol? Yes. But the problem is, a person like that, vitriol only makes them stronger.
That's their fuel.
And it's a sad state of affairs. But anyway, that's the news. Sorry the news ended on a bummer.
That's right. We just need heroes who take down YouTube channels. That's what we need.
I know one.
Yes!
They got a Twitter account taken down. If they can get a YouTube account taken down, then they're a double hero.
Double heroes are the best.
Mm-hmm. So, there are comic book conventions happening this weekend, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
There's a multitude of them, and they're all biggies. All with big name stars and guests and so forth. And sadly, I'm not going to be able to name some of these people, but I'm definitely going to try. The Denver Comic-Con, happening in Denver, Colorado, is going to have a plethora of people. And hey, I noticed there are certain websites for certain conventions that, even with their terrible loading time, if you alter the size and scope of your browser, then it'll actually load correctly.
Okay.
All right. So, Denver Comic-Con has a wide variety of comic book and celebrity guests. Everyone from Art Balthazar, whom I'm a big fan of, Bart Sears, just looking at some folks. Weird Al Yankovic, as I'm going down the guest list.
I love that he's making the con rounds.
Absolutely. And he's done a lot of, like, kind of Midwest-y ones, so maybe he lives out there, or maybe he has, like, something going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his bunker is.
Hmm.
Franco's going to be there, along with Art Balthazar. It's good to see the boys back together again on the convention trail together. There is going to be a Buffy TV reunion happening there. The actors whose names escape me who play Iron Fist and Power Man on the Netflix TV shows, they're going to be there, as well as a bunch of the voice actors from the Justice League Unlimited cartoon. Most importantly, Michael Rosenbaum.
He was also Lex Luthor on Smallville.
He was also Lex Luthor on Smallville, and he was Diamond Head Guy in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right.
So that's
a lot of comic work.
Yes. So that's a big convention. There's also another big convention. Now, Todd, it's called the ID10T convention.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they call Leet Speak, where the numbers in the middle there are to make it look like it says idiot. It's happening out in California. It has something to do with Chris Hardwick, like he's presenting this.
Oh, my favorite guy.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to mention that. But, of course, a lot of comedians are going to be there. It's claiming that it's going to be a comic carnival and music festival. There are going to be, there's going to be Futurama panels there, a lot of music and stuff there. But most importantly, my favorite comedian of all time, Dana Gould, is going to be there.
Oh boy, you should get on the Sposto plane and go see that.
I got a very busy weekend this weekend.
Right.
But Boom is going to have a presence there, Image, Valiant, Oni Press, Top Shelf, Aftershock, etc. So it's going to be a big convention out on the West Coast. In Massachusetts area, in Worcester, Mass, is the Massive Con, and that's M-A-S-S, all, you know, separated, Iv Con.
Mm-hmm.
Professional wrestlers, plural, and World Wrestling Entertainment, Hall of Famers, Diamond Dallas Page, and Booker T are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Palmiotti.
I know him.
And Amanda Connor are going to be there.
Know her, too.
Right. Dave Johnson, Cully Hamner. This one's a little bit more heavy on the... you know what I just saw as I'm looking over the guest list. A little bit more heavy on the convention side. Now, this is a little difficult, Todd, because I see that Franco is both at the Denver convention and the Massachusetts convention, so I'm not really sure how he's going to pull that one off. That's going to be very interesting to see. Anywho... Frank Thierry is going to be there.
Right.
And if Amanda and Jimmy are going to be there.
And Frank Thierry
is going to be there. I'm going to suggest to you, if you're going to that convention, you may want to check out the after party.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that might be where the fun is happening.
Hopefully they'll have one of those panels like they did at Baltimore.
They're not advertising it on the website, but I would certainly check the program to see if they are.
Because that's fantastic.
So there was a whole thing recently, and we'll get back into conventions, and I just want to mention this because it does relate to that. There's been a whole thing in the world of professional wrestling, Todd, where a 5-star match is the best.
Right.
You know, you have matches that are negative stars, dud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars. And this has been the kind of accepted way for the better part of the last 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, there was a match that happened in New Japan Pro Wrestling that the arbiter of handing out these stars, Dave Meltzer, Brad's brother, said, no, this match is 6 stars. And people went out of their minds, Todd.
They lost it all.
To go you one better, when they had a rematch of these, I think it was Okada and Kenny Omega, they had a rematch just recently, and Dave Meltzer rated that match 6.25 stars.
And a quarter star?
And a quarter. It was just that one little fraction of a bit better. Now, I don't want to say that Dave Meltzer does these things purposely to rile people up.
Mm-hmm.
But John Thorne of AIW has taken it recently upon himself that the new AIW slogan is going to be 2.5-star matches, 5-star meet and greets, 6.25-star after parties.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And now...
And you know what? Now, he's not wrong.
I'm telling you, my brain just started working for our Gallifrey Birds, I have to come up with something of how I rate matches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And I'm going to blow the doors off the whole Meltzer scale.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
Go ahead.
So the last convention I want to mention, this is your more celebrity-driven one, mm-hmm. the Knoxville Comic-Con in Knoxville, Tennessee. Gene Simmons of KISS is going to be there.
Oh, is he going to copyright the thwip pose from Spider-Man?
Professional wrestler and also Hall of Famer Sting is going to be there as well. And I can see Gene Simmons looking at Sting's crow makeup and thinking that it looks kind of like the Star Child, perhaps.
Oh, boy.
And serving him with papers live and in person. Also, Scott Steiner is going to be there, not to be confused with the writer of All-Star Batman. Which, we always talk about having bounties on the show, and we're going to get to some more of those here at the Knoxville Comic-Con. If you can get Scott Steiner to sign a Scott Snyder comic book and tweet it at us, I'd love to surprise it or something for you.
I've been cleaning up the house. There's a prize here somewhere.
There's prizes everywhere. So Lonnie Anderson is going to be there.
Lonnie.
The former Miss Burt Reynolds.
That's right. WKRP in Cincinnati.
Now this show, Todd, the Knoxville Comic Con, again, not a sponsor. There are going to be 3 bounties that are active at this show.
Wow.
You've got the Scott Steiner bounty. You've got the freestanding, any convention that they appear at, Ralph Macchio, Billy Zabka convention, double mark photo.
Right.
But now for this convention, Todd, a new one has been added.
Okay.
Robert Pine is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Larry Wilcox.
John?
Ponch and John of Chips are going to be at this convention. If you can get the double mark photo with them.
Wait a minute. I thought Eric Estrada was Ponch.
This is the guy who replaced Ponch on Chips. Eric Estrada, unfortunately, could not be there due to filming a movie. And there's not a winky face emoticon after that.
Wait a minute. So, who's the two people then?
The two people that are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Are Larry Wilcox.
That was John from Ponch and John.
Well, this is another guy from... It says he's from Chips. He's in the outfit.
Oh, okay, but it's not Ponch. I thought you said it was Ponch.
I might have said it was Ponch.
That's why I'm like, no, Ponch is Eric Estrada.
Right, this is Sergeant Guitrer.
Oh, he was the head guy. Yeah, right. I know who he was.
He's like third guy down.
Mm-hmm.
It does say Chips Reunion there, so...
Maybe all three were supposed to be there, and Ponch was supposed to be there, too.
Right. And as I'm looking at the continuing guest list here, mm-hmm. Noah Hathaway is going to be there. And you're going to say, I don't know who Noah Hathaway is. No one knows who that is.
It's Catwoman's father, I think.
No. Atreyu in The NeverEnding Story.
I didn't like The NeverEnding Story because it ended.
Oh, boy. Are you part of that class action lawsuit with Lionel Hutz?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad. All right. So we've been putzing around here with the convention stuff, having some fun. The bounties exist. And, of course, the way that you can have your own personal bounty fulfilled is listening to all the shows in the Soon-to-Be Name Network. And you can find them all at soontobenamenetwork.com, soontobenamenetwork.tumblr.com. And there is a fine, wide variety of shows, whether it be this show, After Dark, which will be coming out this Friday, and I am apologizing in advance for that one. Fresher in Parlance, Profane Arguments, Puzzle Warriors 3, Podvocacy, and Talking Gimmicks, AIM Downside Podcast, I'm Feeling Generous, I'll mention Prime Defective, I'll mention Prodigal Sons. some of these shows are more regular than others.
Some of these shows got to start taking X-Lax.
And if I have my let's not spoil things. I don't know. We'll see how the weekend goes. There might be more coming. I don't know. Not more
what?
Podcasts, but something.
Okay.
I got something cooking. Right. I got ideas. I gotta
ask you about that.
Maybe. I don't know. You do what you gotta do. So digital sales and freebies. I'll do my best to kind of touch on these as best as I can. There is a Vertigo line-wide sale, which is everything that Vertigo has put out. And when I say everything, it's everything. Whether it be single issues, whether it be trades, whatever it is, all of that stuff is available. There is a Indie Pride sale, which includes, as I'm looking here, again, I'll be honest with you, it's a lot of stuff that I'm not familiar with. But definitely check it out, as there is a lot of stuff available here. A lot of LGBT and trans-friendly and, you know, queer and gay-friendly stuff. Obviously, if that is your cup of tea, there is tons of stuff that is going to be readily available for you for a very cheap price. Dark Horse is having the Future is Female sale, which includes Buffy the Vampire Slayer, amongst other female-led stuff. And may I recommend in this sale a book called Lady Killer. They have the first trade, and then they have the first four of the five issues in there, written and drawn by Joelle Jones. I loved the first series, and I've been trade-waiting the second one just because it's mini-series and stuff. The first one was really, really good, and I'm sure the second one will be just as good, and I'll have that in my grubby little mitts any day now. Marvel, on the other hand, is having a Spider-Man event and team-up sale. That includes a variety of things, including Secret Wars, because that was a big Spider-Man crossover. Maximum Carnage, which I was maligning to someone privately the other day. New Avengers, again, we're kind of treading on some shaky ground here. But they have a bunch of different Spider-Man Deadpool team-up stuff. Specifically a book that we might be talking about a little bit later on in this very show.
Okay.
All right, so with me ham-fisting my way through that, let's get into what we read from this past week. Todd, I've rambled for a very long time. So I'm going to let you start this off by talking about Old Man Logan number 25.
That's right, by Ed Bryson and Mike Diodato on art. This is basically coming off the Jeff Lemire run of Old Man Logan, and I wanted to try it. I was interested to see what it would be, and naturally, anytime Mike Diodato's on something, I am going to give it a try. But this starts off with an old man talking to some kids about how they have to get away because they're different and people are hunting them. And then we jump to Old Man Logan, who's had enough of cities and the X-Mansion for a little while. He says that he's got to go off and get into the woods and stuff like that. And he ends up at this diner that he knows, and there's a bunch of people in there, and he notices something's up. So he calls them out on what's wrong, and he gets attacked by people who say they know him. And he's trying to figure out who they are, and all of a sudden they turn into all the people in the diner are Hulks. And apparently they're the Hulks from Old Man Logan's future, the brothers and more Hulk kids that he either, you know, didn't kill, or I'm not really 100% sure on all of it, and I think it will be explained down the line. And we find out that somehow Hulks from Old Man Logan have ended up in our time, and they attack Wolverine in a brutal manner. There's a wonderful fight that happens in the diner. It looks beautiful by Mike Diodato. And then when they get their butts kicked, one of them goes back to we find out the old man from the beginning of the story, and we find out how they're all involved and what his plan is. I don't want to give too much away on who the old man is. It's on the cover. He's the maestro, and he's taking a Hulk brood and he's going to take them and hide them, but now getting revenge for the deaths of their family from the original Old Man Logan, they have let Old Man Logan know that the Hulks are here, so he's gonna be hunting them. So I really enjoyed this issue. I thought it was a brutal, like, you know, fight, interesting concept, enough information that I understood what was going on, but I'm confused as to certain things, like I said, that you're supposed to be. I read this, it makes me want to read more.
Right. This is a kind of clean slate, sort of brand new story, not so much as focusing too much on what Lemire did over the previous issues, but kind of going back to the heart of the original Old Man Logan story.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, and, you know, obviously you mentioned you don't want to spoil too much, but even seeing the cover, which should have been a huge clue as to who that old man was in the beginning and who the kids were that he was talking to, of course, but I'm a dumb, and I didn't quite pick up on it immediately, but I'm very interested to see where this mystery goes, to see how this iteration of the Hulk children got to our time.
Mm-hmm.
Or is this all fake? Is this someone who is creating this to try to trick Logan?
Right. And like I said, I've never really read anything by Bryson that I know of. I'd have to go back and look, but I really enjoy it. I like his stuff.
So. And I know, of course, you're a sucker for Mike Diodato, of course.
Oh, always, always.
As well you should. Now, this one having a little bit more browns in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is his normal color, but I've noticed more lately with Diodato's stuff, whenever he'll do an arc on something, there'll be one color or one tone that'll be very heavy throughout all of it. I think one of the more recent runs that he had was a very purple hue to everything.
Right. That was Thanos.
Right. Well, okay. Obviously, Thanos is purple, but I think... I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's becoming a little bit more noticeable to me.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a purposeful bent to have that running theme of color throughout stuff.
And what color did you say you thought it was this issue?
Brown.
See, I would have to disagree with you.
Okay.
There's a lot of browns, but to me there's more reds in this. Lots
well, the
of blood.
Red one through it, but you get what I think you get what I'm picking up.
Right.
But I enjoyed this very much.
Good, I'm glad.
Of course, my only concern with this is the the problem with Old Man Logan is that there's no Wolverine in the Marvel comics. But there is a Wolverine in the Marvel comics. It's Old Man Logan.
Mm-hmm.
So now Old Man Logan is not only in his book, but he's also in, like, three other books right now.
But I don't read those, so it don't matter to me.
Okay. You don't read Totally Awesome Hulk?
Wait, he's in Totally Awesome Hulk?
He's in Totally Awesome Hulk because Totally Awesome Hulk is crossing over with Weapon X, which he's also in.
See, now, okay.
He's also in X-Men Gold, I think.
Right.
And then there's a new X book that I think the one, remember we did the story a couple weeks ago where there was the big to-do where they announced a new X book, but they didn't announce who the artist was?
Mm-hmm.
He was front and center on that. So now granted that book is not out yet, but he is currently mainly featured in four books. Now granted, Weapon X and Totally Awesome Hulk are crossing over, so let's say three books where he's doing and whatever three completely different things.
Well, maybe, no, I don't know.
He's just spreading himself too thin so he could forget about the past and his horribleness by continually being busy.
That is true. Or they just like to put Wolverine, a Logan in a book to sell books. So, like I said, I read Totally Awesome Hulk, but that's not going to affect me because I'm not reading X. Which one is it?
Weapon X?
Weapon X, so I don't care. That'll be one that I'm like, you're not getting me to buy another book, so I'll trudge through Totally Awesome Hulk, hoping I can pick up the story. I don't read any of those other X books. So really, to me, he's not getting around much. He's just an old man Logan. If you don't read them, they don't affect you.
Well, that's the thing. I don't read Weapon X under normal circumstances. I don't read the other X-Men book that he's in. But the only reason that I'm getting the Totally Awesome Hulk Weapon X crossover is because it's all being written by Greg Pak.
Right.
So in my mind, it's just like, oh, it's just an extra issue of Totally Awesome Hulk this month for 2 months.
Right. So
maybe three because they did the preludes.
Okay, I'll have to ask.
And the one shot.
Oh my God! Stop. How would you know that? Are you looking at a spreadsheet?
I'm not looking at the spreadsheet right now.
See, I don't know this stuff because I go pick up my books and I don't read the previews much. So I didn't even know there was a Totally Awesome Hulk, Weapon X crossover. I didn't. Until you told me, like, last week or something.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Being ignorant sometimes is the best thing you can do.
There's nothing that Todd loves more than not knowing what crossovers are happening in the books that he reads.
That's right.
Hey, Todd, is Old Man Logan crossing over with Totally Awesome Hulk? I don't know.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness. I'm cracking myself up.
That's right. Are you popping yourself? That's the best.
All right, moving on. Defenders number one. This is a precursor to the upcoming Defenders show that's going to be on Netflix with all the Netflix characters, your Iron Fist, your Luke Cage, your Jessica Jones, your Daredevil, all together as a team. This is written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by David Marquez. This was good. More of a Luke Cage book. Again, not too bent out of shape that it doesn't 100% line up with the actual Luke Cage book that's going on. But that I can kind of be like, okay, well, they've put a timestamp on that sort of where it's happening possibly before all of this is going on. This is coming out before the Defenders TV show comes out, so that they could probably have a quick handy-dandy trade ready to go when everyone goes to their comic book store to buy this. But it's a very pretty book. Like I said, Dave Marquez does very good art. Did you read this?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So what did you think of this?
I liked it. I didn't love it. One of the things was I felt very lost in the beginning, because there was like things that happened off panel, and I don't know if they were in another book that I'm not reading. Because you remember asterisks?
Yes.
We could use those here to tell me where I could have went to get this. Not that I would have, but I might have. So that was kind of weird. Like, we found out that Jessica was attacked and stuff like that. And I'm reading Jessica Jones, so it didn't happen in that book.
Right.
And then, like, all that stuff, like the Luke Cage, the Iron Fist, the Daredevil stuff, I'm like, okay, they, you know, heroes, blah, blah, blah. But the one that, you know, feels out of place to me is the Jessica Jones, because I don't see Jessica Jones as a super, like, anywhere near a super team, if that makes any sense anymore.
Yes.
So I'm kind of like, and especially how realistic and grounded Jessica Jones is, reading even a book by Brian Michael Bendis with Jessica Jones in this book, it feels off to me, because I prefer her over in Jessica Jones. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
It does. She is a character that works best separated from the rest of the Marvel Universe. If they come into her book, that's fine. When she goes into their books, it doesn't feel right.
Right.
I don't have that exact feeling, but I definitely get what you're saying. It is always weird to her in the little bit that I read of her when she was in the New Avengers book when Bendis was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, of course, it's Bendis is almost primarily the only person who has ever wrote comic book Jessica Jones.
Right. And I find that interesting, so I kind of let it go. But I just feel like that she has a disdain for this life, so it's tough to get her to be part of it and have it be plausible. That's more what I'm trying to say. The one thing that I did find interesting is after we did Joe and Todd have issues with the alias issue, that when they did the little, which I do have to admit, I did love the panels of like when the character shows up and they're like Luke Cage and they have his origin kind of like rehashed in the background, wordless. It's kind of cool, like the hype hitting the high spots.
Yeah.
When they did the Jessica Jones ones, obviously you have the Purple Man, you have this, but you have that other ego that she was other than Jewel.
Nitrous.
And I'm like, that's not just thrown in there. Like, that's, I have a feeling, like, you know how we talked about that was never touched on again?
Right.
I think we're getting that touched on in this Defenders run.
So the other thing that I wanted to mention was, you said, was there something that you should have read before this? Yes. You should have read the Free Comic Book Day Guardians of the Galaxy book.
Wait, what?
The Guardians of the Galaxy Free Comic Book Day book. Because there was an 8-page backup that was the prequel to this issue of Defenders.
Okay.
Which, one, yes, they absolutely should have smartened us up to that.
Right.
Two, again, you make so many good points, and I do like all the stuff that you say about this book. My biggest complaint about this book was a $5 book that felt a little flimsy.
What? That never happens.
You know, sometimes we'll get a $5 book and it's like, it feels a little heftier, like it's got some extra stuff in there. This had an interview in the back, which is great. I liked it. Wasn't like earth-shattering, it was definitely like planting the seeds for what the rest of the story is going to be. Interesting plot device for Bendis to use. But at a $5 book, maybe I wanted just a little bit more.
See, that I actually liked. But I get, like, the book felt flimsy. Yes, I will give you that. But I did like the interview because it was in character, whereas I have had other books where they slap in stuff that has nothing to do with what I'm reading. But, yes, it's a very quick $5 book where when we read Metal, like the Forge book, that was a $5 book. And I felt like I got my five and I got $5 and a quarter for my money, so I was good. But I know what you're saying.
Right. So lastly, the book that we're going to be talking about is our preview review book, and that is the comic Shirtless Bear Fighter from Image Comics, written by Jody LaHip, Sebastian Gurner, with art by Mike Spicer and Neil Vendrell. So the quick pitch of this book is there is a naked man in the woods who is really good at fighting bears. So when bears attack the city, the government come to recruit him to fight the bears that are attacking the city. That's pretty much all that happens in this book.
I will give them, he was shirtless and he fought bears.
Well, okay. While he was shirtless, it turns out that his name is Shirtless.
Well, sometimes,
which is fantastic.
You know.
Most of the time, as mentioned, he does fight naked and his sensitive bits are tiled out in the book. And they do attempt to bribe him in a way that you would bribe a mountain man. And outside of one panel where it's the FBI, because that's who I think it is. The FBI director guy distracts the female FBI agent by getting her to look at cat pictures on his phone. That played a little weird.
Well, that's what played weird?
Okay. That it played out of place. in this book, which is a ridiculous premise with a ridiculous title, for the most part, played completely straight.
Nope.
No?
Yeah. Ugh, okay. See, like, I don't get what you're saying. When okay. we have a book where shirtless bear fighter right. who fights bears naked has a bear house.
Mm-hmm. That's and a bear plane.
What?
And a bear plane.
Exactly. And the thing that's out of character, like, that doesn't make any sense or is weird, is that the girl gets the woman FBI agent is gets all gaga over fat cats in little hats, which tiny hats, Joe, it should be all over that. So I was like, I don't see how that's like, I don't know. You say that, and I find the only thing weird about this is that you find that one panel weird out of everything that happened.
Weird is not the word.
That's I know I'm not putting it right.
No, but no. It just felt out of tone with the rest of the book. Because the rest of the book, as you say, is so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so ridiculous, but more or less played straight. And here's this character, the female FBI agent, who technically should be us. The person who none of this makes any sense to. And they just kind of show her pictures of fat cats and tiny hats, and then never brings up the ridiculousness of this ever again.
Well, don't you think that's a tease to what? I have a feeling that's going to be mentioned again. It's not a throwaway to me. I think everybody has their quirks, and we're gonna figure them out. But I don't know. That to me, that's the least of this. Of this book. I liked it.
Yes.
And I liked it even more when I started reading the dialogue in my head like a bad B movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this will make an amazing movie someday.
Right.
Because I think what they're trying to do here works better on the screen than it does on paper, if that makes any sense.
Yes, this is something that very easily could have been just like a throwaway webcomic with a one-note joke, but they're going full tilt and full bore with this, pun intended, with whatever sort of animal you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this very much could have legs. This very much could be a movie. This very much could be an animated series. This very much could be a bunch of different things, but I'm just glad that it did not go to the extent of being a bunch of cheap throwaway jokes.
Mm-hmm.
That, as you mentioned, it was kind of like a exploitation movie of the 70s, where there was a ridiculous premise going on, and you buy into the ridiculous premise because everyone in the movie is playing it completely straight.
Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know what? The one thing that got me in was when they show, because obviously he fights bears, and they were basically telling him, like, you have to do this, or the bearists win. I was like, that's a Todd right there.
Right.
I'll give them that. So
they're ladling your warmth.
That's right. And what you have to call a certain food was my other favorite thing. So I was like, all right, I'll keep reading this.
Right, I definitely enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun with this.
Right, especially since I think it's only 6 issues.
Five issues.
I don't think this is an ongoing, so like you said, it's 5 issues. So that helps out a lot for me, that because I don't think you can sustain this over, like, you know, the 5-year plan, if you know what I mean.
Are you saying that a concept like this might have a shelf life?
No, it doesn't. This is a story that should be told in mini series, as you say, every so often.
Fair enough. So, that's what we read this week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. And that would be, if you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them in trade, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, and know if you need a wheelbarrow like I do to bring your books home this week.
Oh, my God.
Right. I don't know how it happened that I get so many comic books, but Todd, I get a lot of comic books.
I've officially given up. You're winning this one.
Right. So we attempt to do two things with the pull post this year. One is listing all of the books that we are getting and breaking them down by publisher so we can see an itemized list cataloged. And I am nearly 20 over what Todd has gotten so far for the calendar year of 2017. But again, I'm buying a lot of books. This is my only vice in life as I clank my empty hard root beer bottle.
Oh, boy. Warriors come out and play.
Right.
But, yes.
So, Todd, the other thing that we attempt to do is guess what the other one is most looking forward to coming out this week. We are currently tied at 12 apiece. So, again, no movement on the board there. It's whether it be 12 correct or 100 correct, it does not matter.
Right.
Looking at your list, Todd, let us see what you are most looking forward to coming out this week. Knee-jerk reaction, I'm going to guess that you are most looking forward to coming out. Batman number 25, the beginning of the new story arc, The War of Riddles and Jokes.
You know me so well, Joe.
Bam!
Now, I have questions about yours.
All right, go for it.
Because I'm looking over your pull list, and I see every... So not naturally, Crosswind 1 has to be off the list because we reviewed that already, right?
Right. New Gail Simone image book comes out this week. We talked about it on last week's show as a preview review book, or 2 weeks ago, rather. My apologies. Again, if we had not already read it, that would have been the book I was most looking forward to coming out.
Right. Just throwing that out there because I don't want to, you know, a technicality. Second of all, what is Weapons of Mutant Destruction?
Todd, I'm not sure if you heard.
Right.
There's a crossover going on between Totally Awesome Hulk and Weapon X.
Right.
And I mentioned that it's only 2 months that it's going on for. Unless you count the prelude issues. And unless you count the one shot. This is that one shot.
Is this a Greg Pak book? Too?
It is.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So I needed to know what that is. Now I'm looking over your list. Is the book you're looking forward to most Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man 1?
It is Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man number 1.
Boom, because it was either that or Lobo Roadrunner number 1.
Right. We haven't gotten a chance to dip into much of the Looney Tunes DC crossovers. I think we might in a week or two, but this is one of those ones where when we had first talked about it, I'm like, Lobo Roadrunner sounds like such an interesting, unique concept. I gotta get it. And here we are. I'm getting it.
You know what? Because you're getting it, I might pick it up just to try that one.
Just to throw off the numbers?
Yes. That doesn't count. Does that count?
Oh, my goodness. When are you buying the book?
Maybe tomorrow if they have some.
It counts.
It counts?
It counts.
It counts. All right, then that's the book I'm looking forward to most, so you missed it.
Oh, you can't. Kidding.
I know, I'm messing with you. I might just try to give us something both to talk about, you know, a little something different.
All right.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Thank you for doing me that kind service.
I'll let you know. When we're at the shop, I'll let you know whether or not to put it on the list for that week and bump me up a book.
Because
it's not like my numbers are off at all anyway. So
listen, by the end of the year, if I beat you by one, you're going to be coming back to this episode and cursing my name.
That's right. And I know I already missed an issue somewhere. Come on.
That's why I always say when we start this off, the two things that we try to do in the calendar year 2017.
What try? Do or do not?
Listen, I know a guy who once said, do or do not, there is no try.
Mm-hmm.
And
Frank
he went
Oz.
On to be the president of the United States.
Oh, my goodness. Dusty?
Oh, I wish. I wish I was in that timeline. Oh, my goodness.
But anyway.
Oh, all right. I'm cracking myself up too much.
You're popping yourself.
All right, so hot off the presses. We didn't talk about it, of course. We were, you know, when we were talking about the properties and, you know, people leaving and coming from books. And we typically don't get into too much of this. But Lord and Miller, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who were doing the Han Solo movie, left the movie today. Well, first it was announced that they left the movie over creative differences. Then it came out that they were let go. Then it came out that the short list of people that are looking to replace them at the helm of that movie is Ron Howard.
You got to go with Ron Howard.
Opie Cunningham himself.
Opie Cunningham.
You heard me.
Oh, boy. He will always be the narrator to me.
To me, he will always be Opie Cunningham.
Narrator.
Do you remember that skit from Saturday Night Live?
No. Is that the one with the baboon heart on the...
No, that's another one.
Okay. Or the one where the one guy worked at Cinnabon? Yeah, is that one?
No, it's not that one either.
Okay.
All right, so a lot of meandering here. While you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out past editions of The Pull Post, past editions of Todd and Joe Have Issues, which we'll get into the most recent one here, past editions of the show. Everything that we've ever done on the internet is at that localized hub of longboxheroes.com. You could also click on the store button, pick up some shirts and stickers of our fancy logo done by our good friend, DC Comics extraordinaire artist, Tom Derenick. I will have shirts and stickers with me this weekend in Lafayette, Indiana at the Dynamite Cup. With the shirts that I sell there, I will give my portion of that to the Together We Rise charity that the show is for.
But I get to keep my half, right?
Absolutely.
No, you can. You know what, Joe? You can give my half.
Oh, look at you.
Look at me being generous. The only thing I do have to say is, don't drink from the Dynamite Cup. That sounds dangerous.
I doubt they're going to let me anywhere near the Dynamite Cup, to be completely honest with you.
What if it goes off? You could be, you know, hurt?
I'll be exploded?
Yes. Blowed up real good.
While you're also over at longboxheroes.com, if you need to purchase anything that you could imagine... You could click on our Amazon link, and I guarantee you that it will be there. Todd, you know how last week we mentioned that our listeners went Funko Pop crazy?
Yes.
Well, the craziness isn't over yet, Todd, because someone purchased more Star Wars-related Funko Pops, such as the Blue Senate Guard, the Shadow Guard, Max Rebo... And my personal favorite of this lot this time around, Zuckuss. Are you familiar with Zuckuss, Todd?
Yes, he was one of the bounty hunters in Empire.
Absolutely.
Didn't he have the bug eyes kind of a thing?
That's right, he did.
Oh.
Can you name the other bounty hunters there, not to put you on the spot?
Bossk.
Right.
IG-88.
Right.
Boba Fett.
Yep.
And... Dengar.
Very good. I'm very proud of you.
That's right. And I think I did them in order of coolness, by the way. No, IG-88 is the coolest. Because I don't know if you know this, IG-88 was the espresso machine in the cantina in the original Star Wars New Hope.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Is that on Wikipedia?
Yeah, that is on the Wikipedia. In all honesty, that is true. I don't know if he's the espresso machine, but he is one of the things that is behind the bar. And they just, you know...
They just took that head and made him into a bounty hunter in the next movie?
Yeah, they're like, take that thing there and just slap it on the thing. And Bossk's suit, like flight suit that he has, was used in a classic Doctor Who episode.
Get out of here.
Yes. That is, like, in a black and white episode, that they shot a lot of that Empire stuff in England, so they probably just stole that out of some, like, old BBC store wardrobe thing.
Aww.
I'll have to find the picture for you.
That's a bummer. That means Star Wars and Doctor Who take place in the same universe.
That's right. They
Earth.
Do.
Hollywood backlots.
Oh,
it's
goodness.
All fantasy. It's all make-believe.
Yeah. But anyway.
Closing out the show here, Todd. Todd and Joe have issues. Did we have any art attack this week?
No, we did not.
Right. Todd and Joe have issues from the DC Rebirth, Superman number 7, written by Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, with art by Jorge Jimenez. This is the down issue after what appears to be a big crossover where Superman fought some people. He ends his day by saving a spaceship and assisting some of his other Justice League compatriots, decides to go home, and agrees to take Lois and young John, who is apparently their son, to the fair, and promises no super shenanigans, and even gives Lois his cape. And things don't work out quite as Clark planned. Which should have been the solicitation text.
Yes.
So, what did you think of the issue?
I really enjoyed it because it had the heart of Superman that we missed in the New 52 as far as I was concerned. And the whole thing with them... Now, granted, I was a little confused because that these are the John Byrne Superman and Lois Lane. So when they, you know... They're mentioning, like, at one point in the book, they're like, oh, like, this little newspaper, we'd like to get a job. And they're like, do you have any background in you know, newspaper? And they're like, nope. And I'm like, okay. Like, but all that stuff I could throw out because at the heart of this, it is a, you know, Clark and Lois, and Jonathan, the son, you know, story. So I don't need to know all that. I could just go, all right, maybe if I read the book, I'd understand, but I can glance over that to get to what it is. And I found it interesting because it was fun to see Clark and Jonathan do father son things at the fair. And Lois, like you said, going, no, you can't be Superman. And he takes his cape. And like you said, the things happen that there's these kids that they're going to rob the gate and take the money from the carnival. But my favorite part of it was really comes down to at the end when Clark makes the promise to Jonathan, he's like, I'll be there to ride the roller coaster so we can watch the fireworks at the end, but he's got to stop the robbery, but he can't be Superman. So he goes through this whole rigmarole that's off camera and told through the PA system, somebody, you know, telling the story. And Lois the whole time just completely on to Clark as to what happened. She's like, you weren't doing any like cape stuff, were you? And he's like, no. He's like, definitely. And he's like, definitely yes, kind of a thing. And it was just cute to see that interplay between Lois and Clark and all that stuff, kind of like I missed. But like I said, I really enjoyed this story and it kind of makes me want to read more DC Rebirth Superman stuff because I'm only really reading him in Trinity, but it makes me kind of want to either read Superman or Action. So I think that's, you know, the highest praise you can give this story that doesn't have much Superman in it.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, you know, I think there is Superman in it. The first couple pages, of course, he is Superman doing Superman things. And I haven't read a full-fledged Superman comic in quite some time. And no joking, I was surprised to see a panel in this book where Superman smiled.
What?
Because that's not the Superman that I'm more familiar with having watched the movies presented to us by Warner and DC Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I'm sure that I've seen Jorge Jimenez's art before, but I don't think I have seen art this expressive outside of a manga comic in a good way in dozens of years. But it worked to like kind of show the excitement of Jonathan, the kind of I don't want to say deceitfulness, but the attempted deception of Clark, the I'm on to you sort of looks of Lois, You know, the part where the little girl comes up to Jonathan is like, oh, hey, come to the 4-H, you know, whatever, they can't say 4-H, but like whatever the 4-H gimmick is at this fair, and Lois kind of shuts him up. Very expressive art, and I really, really love this art, and I mentioned before that I was having a private conversation with someone, kind of slagging on how bad Maximum Carnage is, and we kind of got into talking about some other things, more specifically how so many DC books, their art feels the same. But this book, and I think Rebirth, is really changing a lot of the way that would feel. Like, you know, Marvel kind of had their house style in the 80s, and DC kind of had their house style for a very long time. But I think one of the things that people don't talk about as much, or at least that I don't hear them talk about as much, that all of these books from Rebirth have their own look and feel to them. The house style of DC is kind of a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree on that. I enjoyed the art too. It was, like you said, very expressive, and I especially liked the art in the way the artist told the story when Superman was helping all the different DC heroes in Justice League.
Yes.
And it was kind of like going from Central City to Gotham City to the ocean and everything like that. I think like the style helped that way too, the way they were doing. And anytime I love, you know, happy Superman, interacting with gruff Batman. I always love that, and because I don't like gruff Superman with gruff Batman, because then they become the same character. I like when they're the opposite sides of the same coin, and that just, you get a taste of that in here, and I like that. But it looked really good, and I get what you're saying about the art.
So, our book next week, and you know, typically we take turns, and sometimes the order gets a little mixed up, and we chose a book from one of our listeners, one of the folks who has a show on our network with the Paladins of Voltron podcast with Jason Kirk. That would be Jeremy, and again, unfortunately, I don't know Jeremy's name, last name off the top of my head. I'm sure it's on his Twitter. But anyway, he had suggested that, and then looking at the books that were on sale this week, I saw a book that jumped out at me that I'm like, ooh, this is a book that's on the list. Let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be Deadpool number 11. Now, it is a solo story, even though there are little bits of it that happened in the previous issue, but they do a really good job of filling you in. So, in the kayfabe world of what happens in this comic book, due to an incident with Doorman of the Great Lakes Avengers, Deadpool is transferred back into the past. In the shoot version of what happens in this book, through a very expensive and time-costly procedure called gumping, this is a book that was published in 1998, Deadpool is inserted into the pages of Amazing Spider-Man number 34, where they just take that book entirely, whole cloth, and put Deadpool in it. So it's Deadpool interacting with 60s versions of Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy, Norman Osborn, J. Jonah Jameson, and Kraven the Hunter.
Wait a minute. That sounds an awful lot like what they did with film footage in Forrest Gump. Gumping.
Yes.
I wonder if the two things are you know, have something to do with each other.
Well, Todd, you can read this story and report back to our listeners next week. This is one of my favorite issues from one of my all-time favorite, I would say probably top five all-time favorite runs of a comic book.
Wow, you have Deadpool in your top five?
Well, the good version of Deadpool, this one.
You mean, oh, I thought you meant the Ryan Reynolds movie. Gotcha.
I don't know who that is.
The old double R.
R double.
Our double.
We can't swear on this one, so.
Can we swear on this show?
No. You can only tell stories that you've told before.
Okay.
So, I think that's everything.
Other than one thing that I want to mention.
All right.
Is that this weekend is the return of AMC's Preacher. And just so people know who are going to watch Preacher, it premieres, season 2, episode 1, premieres on Sunday, and then they give you an extra episode. Episode 2 is going to be on Monday night. So there's going to be 2 episodes of Preacher this week.
And Monday is its normal air time, correct?
Nope, Sunday is its
normal air time. Sunday. Why did I think Monday was the normal air time?
I don't know.
Okay, so if you remember from last year, Todd and I had differing opinions in regards to the Preacher television show from AMC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you and Jason Kirk didn't jump all over me when I tweeted out that part of the ad where it said, from the creative minds of Sausage Party and This Is the End.
Oh, is that what that was about? Occasionally miss some of your tweets.
Yeah, that's how you want to sell Preacher. That's mm-hmm. Sausage Party. Okay. Fair enough.
Sausage Party made tons of cabbage.
Right? Sure.
It was a cabbage party.
Yeah. So, I am traveling this weekend. My number one priority is to watch the Doctor Who stuff. Todd, we live in a world where my number one priority is to watch Doctor Who.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if that speaks volumes for my commitment to the show, or if it speaks volumes to my disdain for season one of Preacher.
I think it has to do with my charisma and my ability to get people to do things.
I say charisma.
Mm-hmm. So.
And Sausage Party did make money, which is a sad state of affairs. But anyway.
I know, I'm looking that up myself. Yeah.
So, I will do my best to watch Preacher and watch it with an open mind. Try my best not to harp too much on my feelings of the previous season. But if we don't talk about Preacher on next week's episode, let's just assume I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Yes, let's assume that.
Yes, and nothing more. So I think that covers everything.
Now that covers everything.
Now that covers everything for real.
Mm-hmm. For realsies.
For realsies. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to episode 351 of Longbox Heroes. For Todd, this is Joe saying, see y'all next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.